Instagram.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. It is a Monday after a Packers game. And so we got to talk about it. And this was a bad year to start this segment as far as this is Packers Pundit Playback, where we invite different Packers pundits to come on the day after the game and explain to us the deeper analysis than us mere mortal fans like Jane and I have as far as did we win or did we lose? And so this week is no different. We have Paul Noonan joins us for this half hour, and he covers the Packers for Shepherd's Express and Acme Packing Company and hosts the weekly podcast Reporting as Eligible on the Packers and Milwaukee's Tailgate podcast on the Brewers. Welcome to the show, Paul.
Thanks for having me.
I wish it was under better circumstances. When was the last season where we lost three in a row?
It's been a really, really long time since we started off this badly. The last time we had seasons this badly were when Aaron Rodgers got hurt midway through them, but those were pretty quick starts. So I think you're going to have to go almost back to the pre-Super Bowl, like Rodgers development phase for this. I pulling up records is hard spontaneously.
No, so, I know. Welcome to live radio.
indeed. It's been a really long time since they've had this bad of a start, though. Certainly under LaFleur, unprecedented, and even Mike McCarthy usually got off to at least a 500 start.
So yeah.
This is weird. I mean, uncharted territory.
Especially because this is going into next week's game, which against the Bills, which will be hard.
Right? Yep. Not gonna go well, probably.
And did I read something that like the Lions are also like decent this year and that there's a chance that we might lose to them the week after as well? I mean, there's always a chance we can lose, especially after we just lost to the Commanders.
Yeah, let's be clear. I think this Packer team can lose to anybody. I don't think that there's anything they can't accomplish on the low end of things. The Lions are quite bad. They're fun. They're entertaining. They're sort of bad entertaining, and they play really up-tempo, high-powered offense for a bad team. But the Packers should not lose that game. That's the one that they should win that. The Lions, if you make lots of charts and graphs like I do, the bad teams are usually in the lower left-hand corner of the chart, and the Lions just live down there. Okay. They're pretty brutal. The Packers do not. They're just normal bad.
They're just normal bad. Well, because you wrote on Saturday, you published a piece titled "A Packers Loss to Washington Would Be Particularly Embarrassing." And we lost. And so it is embarrassing because what was supposed to happen in this game as far as a analyst for the NFL?
So I thought they might lose this game. And partially why I saw that potentially coming. Washington's bad, but they're good at a couple of things, and those couple of things give Green Bay trouble. They're good at stopping the run, and usually when things go bad for the Packers, they can at least just give it to Aaron Jones like 10, 15 times, and that is good enough sometimes. That doesn't work against Washington. They're actually really good at stopping the run, and even though Aaron had a pretty good day in this game, most of those were actually short passes, and his running attack was not that good. AJ Dillon's wasn't either. The other thing Washington's good at specifically is guarding the middle of the field. They're good at getting pressure up the middle on Aaron, which he hates. He's not good with pressure up the middle. They're good at defending passes in front of them in the middle of the field, and their safeties are excellent. Their safeties actually, by Pro Football Focus's grading, are the first and fifth best in the league. This is a problem for Green Bay because Aaron Rodgers has been one of the most inaccurate quarterbacks outside the numbers all season. He basically makes his living inside. That's the one thing Washington's good at stopping. What Green Bay should have done in this game, especially with Sammy Watkins back, is change up a little bit and try to hit the outsides a little bit more than they normally do. And they really didn't. They tried it a couple times. They actually made it work once when Aaron rolled out and hit that awesome touchdown to Aaron Jones. But for the most part, they played their normal game, which is right into the strength of Washington. I think a smarter planning team would have been able to pick on their weaknesses a little bit more, which is outside corner, and the Packers just didn't do it.
So this was a fail of the coaching, in your estimation?
Everybody was bad in this game, including the coaching. It's one of the, honestly, one of the problems with analyzing this one is that it's just so many people were bad in this game, and the coaches included. I don't think they did a particularly good job at scheming to Washington's weaknesses. But Aaron was bad. The receivers were atrocious. Aaron Rodgers only had 12 incompletions in this game, and I counted 8 drops by receivers. So I think we can cut Aaron a little bit of slack for this because they did not do him any favors at all. It's just there's so much blame to go around. The only people that played well, at all were the Green Bay cornerbacks. They did okay. And even when they got beaten, like J.R. Alexander got beaten by Terry McLaurin a couple times, he was still in pretty good coverage. McLaurin just made really good catches.
Yeah.
But everything else literally was terrible.
Because seven of our points came from a pick six. Like, our offense was just not, didn't show up.
They really didn't. The drops were bad. Aaron, I feel like Aaron actually made a few spite throws too.
What is that? What do you mean by that?
I'll give you an example. Romeo Doubs was very hyped at the beginning of the season. And I think by this point in the season, he should have developed a little bit more than he has. And if anything, he seems to have gotten worse. He was responsible for at least three of those drops. And in college, he went to Nevada. He played in an offense called the Air Raid offense, which was very focused on deep passes. And they haven't had him do it that much this season. And there's one play that Aaron Rodgers rolled out to his right. It was a designed rollout. So he gets the shot, the snap and shotgun. He rolls to his right. When you roll to your right, the receivers are supposed to see that on a scramble play and also go to the quarterback's right. Sometimes it's their left. And Doubs was open deep. And there was a safety to his left. And he should have seen the safety and known Aaron was rolling to his right and said, I'm going to run away from the safety towards where my quarterback is. And he didn't. He rolled to his left, which is nonsensical. There's no reason to do it. Aaron threw the ball to his right. And it looks like a terrible play on film because it's not even remotely close to Doubs. It looks like everybody was not on the same page. And it looked for the life of me like Aaron was throwing it where it was supposed to be. And it's going to look bad for Doubs when they do film review.
Oh, it's so... And so... Well, first of all, Romeo Doubs is also who's been our punt returner, right? And has not been necessarily great at that either. And so right?
The punt returner has mostly been Amari Rodgers.
Okay.
It was, they've gone through a few people. Christian Watson did it for a little bit, but it's mostly been Amari Rodgers. He's had his problems too. They actually took him off punt returns, but injuries forced him back in. And he had the fumble this week that was one of the turning points of the game.
Yeah.
Despite how badly the Packers played, they probably should have won this game anyway. And that fumble was a big reason why they didn't.
Well, because that brings me to the last play of the game, which, had we been able to pull it off, would have been incredible. Because, like, for anyone who did watch the game, this literally looked like the last scene of the 1994 classic Little Giants, where they're just hurling the ball backwards to each other because the clock is out and trying to keep the play alive. And it looked chaotic, but had they actually been able to get it done, it would have been an incredible ending, because we only lost by 2 points, which I guess makes it even, the fact that we had to rely on a play like that at the end, yeah, even that much harder to swallow.
It does. I love the lateral play. It's very fun to watch. It doesn't work that much, but it has a couple times. And it ended in, it was so close to working. I think that's the most infuriating thing about it.
I was like, oh my God, it's still going. It's still going.
One of the best examples I've ever seen was run like many years ago, like 15 years ago, by the Carolina Panthers when they were quarterbacked by Jake Delhomme. They actually were in the Super Bowl that year against the Patriots. And they ran a very specific kind of it where they did the laterals and then they got it back to the quarterback and sort of reloaded, like they were snapping it all over. And he threw it across the field where there were no defenders anymore. And they did that a few times and it worked really well. And they got to that situation. Aaron Rodgers got the ball back, which I think terrified everybody a little bit, because you can light up the quarterback in that situation if you want to. And Aaron had, it was a lineman, which is why it didn't work, but a guy open on the other side. And if he just throws that pass a little bit better into his chest, he might actually do the Little Giants thing and rumble into the end zone. But instead, goes between his legs. It happens with linemen sometimes.
Yep.
And it doesn't work. You know, the most disturbing part of that play is actually that they ran laterals in the first place, because Aaron Rodgers used to be able to throw the ball into the end zone from that part of the field. And they've been very good on Hail Marys. The fact that they chose not to throw a Hail Mary, I think, is indicative of him losing a little bit of arm strength and not having the confidence to do that.
So is it a combo? Is it the combination right now of his age and arm strength and, like, kind of where he's at in his career, coupled with he just doesn't necessarily trust a lot of the guys who would be catching his passes?
I think that's a lot of it. I think that's two-thirds of it. I don't think he trusts any of his receivers. He trusts Alan Lazard. He definitely trusted Randall Cobb. And if a silver lining for the future is if they get Cobb back, I think they can put together the semblance of a good offense. And he should come back sometime in the not-too-distant future. But yeah, he doesn't trust anybody. A.J. Dillon was open for a first down on a play, and Aaron was looking right at him, and I think he just dropped two balls in a row, and he just said, nope, not doing that, turned to his right and tried to gun it into Dobbs or Lazard, and that didn't work either. So that's a big part of it, but he is definitely showing some signs of aging that happens to quarterbacks when they get to be about Aaron's age. Yeah. He's about to turn 39, and we have seen a lot of older quarterbacks in the league. One of the harbingers of them not being good anymore is it shows up in their mobility stats. And, you know, Aaron Rodgers used to run a lot. It used to be a big weapon for him. He used to routinely pick up first downs with his legs. Usually he'd score like three or four touchdowns a year. He only has three runs the whole year, which is unprecedented for him. He did decline quite a bit last year in this, but he does not like running at all this year. And it's not a good sign. He's taken a lot more hits because of it. He has stayed in the pocket where he's not as effective. It's not a coincidence that Aaron Jones touchdown pass was on one of the few rollouts that he had. Mm-hmm. He's better throwing outside the numbers when he moves, and he does not move anymore. I think his arm strength has declined as well, and it's hurt his accuracy overall. I think the end is definitely in sight for him, and if this is the last one for him, I wouldn't be that surprised.
And I think that's the most fascinating thing about this, both him and Tom Brady, another guy not having a great season, and could have stepped back, and yet it's just the inability to let go. And so your last season really not being the top of your game. And I get it. I can only imagine having a lot of friends who played D1 sports and having a dad who played D1 sports. Like, I get that hanging it up is an identity crisis. And so I can only imagine what it's like when you are the best at what you do, of what it takes to actually mentally be ready to let go. And maybe it is like, I'm just not as good as I was, is that's what the trick is. But watching both of them kind of just have mediocre to bad years is, I don't know. It's
weird. Brady, Brady's quite a bit older. He's, I think, 40. I think he's my age. Him starting to decline, every game he gets where he doesn't decline is a surprise. I think it is going to hit Aaron pretty hard, though. Aaron really enjoys being famous, and I think he really enjoys being a little bit.
He doesn't like attention.
But I think it'll be hard for him when he's not the best in the world at something. Yeah. And I also think it'll be really hard for him if he has to, against his will, retire the same year that Tom Brady does and share a stage with him on their Hall of Fame inductions, which I think in the back of his mind, at least, has been keeping him going a little bit. I think he wants to outlast Brady by at least a year so that doesn't happen, because, at that Hall of Fame induction, Brady is going to be the star as, the greatest of all time. Aaron's going to be second banana if that happens. I don't think he likes that.
Yeah.
Paul, I realize that you are the expert, but I think it's important to mention the curse of the bad Aaron Rodgers haircut.
Yeah. I heard you guys talk about it with JR last week. And
I don't think it can be discounted. I don't.
I actually agree with you. And I do feel like the long hair is better for him. He's better when he's a little more Scott Stapp and a little less John Wick, I guess. I don't know. It's counterintuitive, but I do think that the long hair plays a little bit better for him.
I guess we'll find out soon enough if this is all like it was last year as far as being a Halloween costume or if it's just what he thinks looks good. We'll find out. So yep. I guess our guest this half hour for Packers Pundit Playback is Paul Noonan. And so what do we do from here? Hold our breath?
It's tough, and it's hard to be optimistic for the rest of the season, partially because the rest of the schedule is very difficult. They play just a murderer's row of teams, starting with Buffalo. But also, they're really not on the same page in terms of what Aaron wants to do and what Matt LaFleur wants to do. They've had a nice hybrid version of the offenses that they both prefer the last few years, where they sort of run simple Matt LaFleur throws, which is meant to get bigger receivers the ball in space so they can kind of plow over the people in front of them, versus what Aaron likes to do, which is throw the ball downfield a little bit more to his skinny, fast receivers and make that work. And this year, it's not working at all. Aaron is definitely taking the reins on that, and it's a mess. I'm guessing internally, it's a lot bigger deal than it is from what we see.
All right, well, we're going to take a break right now. Paul Noonan is with us, and so when we come back, we'll talk more about the Packers game and maybe a little bit about that Aaron Rodgers song that he came up with. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
A John Wick costume, a thousand State Farm ads,
Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. We are doing the Packers Pundit Playback with Paul Noonan today, who is, that's his lovely voice that you're hearing on our bumper music. And so you just told me at the break that you and J.R. Radcliffe, who was here, who was our pundit last week, wrote this song together. What was the inspiration?
So I wrote most of it.
Okay.
J.R. consults on getting a meter correct. He's better at that than I am. So, but inspiration is, I sort of think in parody song, and sometimes I write them down. And so it's really just that.
Have you made more parody songs?
I've got a couple out there, and I have some that are not out there that I need to improve upon greatly. But
this show likes a good parody song. Like, I don't know if you've heard any of the Jane's picks, but we have Stay Up All Night to Get Data when we have policy researchers come on. We have a stock market song for when my brother comes on. We love a good parody song.
Paul, there is a partnership to be made here. I firmly believe that.
So the most recent one I have is called The Long Craig Timber, which is about the Brewers not doing so well down the stretch because their manager couldn't do things he's used to doing. And it's based on the Counting Crows song. And I sing that too. And I can't really do Adam Duritz's range. I should really stick to lower stuff. But I'm the only one willing to do it. So that's what happens.
So you just gotta get it done. So you're like, if no one else can sing it, I will sing it. So what was... For that one, that was just to make fun of Aaron Rodgers, or what was the inspiration to record that one?
The inspiration of that one was, I've written a lot on Aaron Rodgers' personality in addition to doing sort of the stat work for my site.
Okay.
And that one coincided with him putting out a really cryptic Instagram post that indicated maybe he'll retire. It said just some weird things about his recently ex-girlfriend, Shailene Woodley at the mm-hmm. time. And it was just him, he loves attention, obviously. My thing with Aaron Rodgers, I always say, is don't pay attention to what Aaron Rodgers says, pay attention to what Aaron Rodgers does, because what he says is usually just to get you to pay attention to him. And that's what this turned out to be. And there was a lot of speculation when he made that post that he was going to retire. I had just watched Bo Burnham's Inside, and that's the best song on it. So, like... Well, this is easy. I have an Instagram account, and that song is just listing Instagram posts. I bet I can make it work, and I could. So
That's so funny, because we literally last week we were just playing, Bo Burnham's song, Heal the World with Comedy, and joked about that. That was a great, that's really funny that that's what it was based off of. I forgot that song existed. So speaking of Aaron Rodgers, now I feel like we don't have enough time as someone who's admittedly written a lot about his personality as the Aaron Rodgers whisperer, but I don't know if we can go there. So we'll stick to the game. But if this is his last year, are we thinking Jordan Love is up to the task, or is this we got to start looking at the college recruits again?
So I think they really do need to start looking at college recruits. I have never been a big Jordan Love fan. And I do some of the statistical prognosticating of college quarterbacks for the site. And the biggest indicator that you're going to be a decent pro quarterback is your completion percentage in college, with some little adjustments and caveats that we do to make it a little more sophisticated. The best single stat's called completion percentage over expected. Don't need to get into it. Thing is this, Jordan Love wasn't good at it. He wasn't good at it during his best season. He wasn't good at it during his worst season, which was the season that we drafted him after, where he led college football in interceptions. And sometimes guys develop, like Josh Allen, who we play next week, was mm-hmm. not a good statistical college quarterback at all. And the Bills turned him into an outstanding quarterback. But Jordan Love also doesn't have his level of athleticism and as much projectability. It's hard to see him turning into a really good pro quarterback. His most comparable guy that draft was actually Daniel Jones, the Giants quarterback that we faced a couple weeks ago. The thing is, Jordan Love's not actually as mobile as Daniel Jones is, so he can't do some of the same things there. And I really think you can't really project him to be a star. And you really want a star quarterback. I hope that I hope a little bit Aaron does retire, because this is a great college quarterback class. It's one of the best that we've had in years. So it's going to be hard for them to get, I shouldn't say this, I shouldn't underrate them. I don't think they'll get high enough in the draft to get one of the really top ones, but I think that there's actually some quality down the board in this one, and that they can do a decent job there as well. Just as an example, the Patriots quarterback we faced a few weeks ago was Bailey Zappi, and he was not thought of much in the draft at all. He was kind of an afterthought pickup. He hits really high on accuracy metrics, and I'm actually not surprised he's been pretty good since he's been up. there's a quarterback who plays for Coastal Carolina, school nobody's ever heard of probably, named Grayson McCall. And essentially, by college statistics, he's like the greatest college quarterback of all time. And he is not predicted to go very high. There are, there's your typical super good guys. Like if they can get like, sorry, I'm glancing over at spreadsheets as I often do when I do these things. If they can get CJ Stroud, like that'd be better. There's a couple of blue chippers, but I don't think they'll be high enough. But there's like four or five interesting down roster guys that I think are worth taking a crack at, and they should.
And is that the more viable option than trying to get a more, like if Aaron Rodgers leaves, a more seasoned trade option?
I think, yes, you really almost always have to go through the draft to get your future quarterback. Okay. There are exceptions. Like the Rams just won a Super Bowl by paying Matthew Stafford a lot of money and a lot of trade capital. But they were basically a fully formed team at that point, and they just needed the quarterback to get over the top. That's not going to be what the Packers are. I mean, we've seen what they are. They're going to need, I think, a bigger rebuild. And since they're going to need a bigger rebuild, that's the way to do it. Also, they have pushed a lot of salary cap into the future to accommodate Rodgers and still have a competent roster. And as soon as he's gone, that's all going to come home to roost, and they're not going to be able to add a lot of high-priced players. So that's, I think that they're sort of, they have a built-in down season or two starting next year if Rodgers leaves.
So we all just have to, basically understand what Bears have been going through for a while in the upcoming season.
Yeah, hopefully not for as long, but I do think that is part of the plan.
Well, and Paul, so many our Packer fans who are alive now never lived through the suckage years.
Yeah, that's true.
Me included, I would say, as a mid-30s, my brother and I always talk about we don't remember the bad days.
They were really bad. I can tell you from, I remember them. I was alive then. It's rough if you don't get this fixed. It does make things harder. Now, they do have one thing going in their favor if it works, which is that Matt LaFleur's scheme historically does work with slightly lesser quarterbacks. He is a disciple of Kyle Shanahan, who is the 49ers head coach. And, you know, they were in the Super Bowl last year with Jimmy Garoppolo. And I know they got blasted by Kansas City last night, but generally speaking, they are capable of putting a good offense on the field with mediocre quarterbacks. I think the Packers are too. That can work against you, though, too. That can get you to, you know, overpaying Jordan Love for a long time for sort of medium performance.
Yeah.
So they might rebound fairly quickly if they can make it work. The Eagles kind of have done that recently with Jalen Hurts, who I think is a good, not great quarterback. But it's a tricky situation. And the best thing you can do for your team is land yourself a good franchise quarterback, as we've seen for the last 30 years with Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers. Of course, with Brett Favre speaking only on the field, not anything else.
Good distinction. All right. Paul Newton covers the Packers for the Shepherd's Express and Acme Packing Company, and he hosts the weekly podcast Reporting as Eligible, which is on the Packers, and Milwaukee's Tailgate podcast, which is on the Brewers. And you're at Badger Noonan on Twitter?
Yes. All right. If you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Badger Noonan. That's my proud alum, and it's been part of my Twitter handle forever.
All right. Go Badgers. Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll have you back soon.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
All right. This is As Goes Wisconsin. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back. To me, I'm a loser.